and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. This is a sort of a mea culpa episode, apologising for one a couple of days ago, where Cheated Fates Joe and I made quite a few mistakes on the Malifaux Masters. To rectify this, we decided that we would get a special guest. He's not really a special guest, on who was actually there, and he could tell us all the things that we got wrong and stuff. So I'm joined by Joel. Hello, Joel.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, nothing bad. Just recovering after the weekend. It certainly does put a strain on the old brain and tires you out playing like that for a weekend.
Yes, I can imagine. Certainly, it looked, as I said in the other episode, it looked very good from the tweets and things. I was a bit disappointed that you got knocked out. I was rooting for you.
Thank you very much.
But obviously, my support was not enough.
No, not this time.
Oh, well.
Next time, Gadget, next time.
I'm sure that you'll be there. Haven't you already like got enough points to qualify for next year?
Yes, I think so. It'll be close anyway. Sorry.
So there we go. So we'll see Joel next year at the Masters.
Not just by right though. Since yes, as you said, I missed out on the top spot and just
you
unlike
did.
Craig, I actually have to go and accumulate at least one or two ranking points next year.
Yes, for those who don't know, the UK, the way the Malifaux Masters work is the person who is the master automatically gets entry, even if they haven't actually played that game for a year, and. You know, it'll give Craig something to go, I haven't played this for ages.
To quote Star Wars, he's only a master of evil.
Yes. Yes. So, you made it to the semis, though.
I did. Day one was incredibly hard fought. And I'm very happy to get out the pool. Never mind quarters and semis. So, it was, getting to the semis itself was a huge achievement. I'm really happy with it. And, yeah, then very happy to take third in the playoff with Luke.
Yeah, and you were the only person exiting the pool who won all of your games, weren't you?
That's right, yeah. Only one on three wins from day one. Not that, because we're only playing out the pool, the amount of wins, we weren't recording tanking points, yes. Didn't matter. But that was a nice little nod on my part. I was quite happy to see that. It didn't mean that at least everyone else had taken a loss at some point.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm feeling a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah. But so one of the things that we did you a disservice on is we tarred you with the filthy Lynch brush. When in fact you weren't really using Lynch at all.
No, I was using the filthy Lewis brush. I used Lewis for five of the six games. I only changed it for the third, fourth place playoff with Luke. And when he was using Winchen, I changed out to Pandora. He was using Winchen.
So how was Lilith?
Her usual awesome self. To be honest, I probably should have changed her in one of the pool games as well and gone to Pandora for that. But I was never tempted by the filth that is Winch throughout the event.
Good. So apology number one. I'm sorry that you got tarred with the Lynch brush. It was very difficult working out who was playing what via Twitter.
Mm.
And when you and Greg had the mirror match in the semi,
yeah.
I know that Greg likes Lynch, and so I just sort of made the assumption that he was using Lynch as well, and therefore you had switched to Lynch, and that horribly underpowered free henchman.
The one thing we covered down to the Neverborn Mirror match is Lilith is probably the best choice.
Right.
She counters pretty much what all the others do pretty well. She can block Pandora's line of sight, which disrupts all her others. She can outfight most of them if she has to do things herself.
Yeah.
She's effectively the only Neverborn summoner at the moment. By the way, she can grow things. And increase her minions that time, and nothing else can really do that. So she's got a few advantages built in. Being able to move around freely through terrain is another big one. So as it was, myself and Greg, we picked crews that were practically identical, totally independently. And it was one model difference and one upgrade difference, and that was that.
What was the different model?
He went for Bad Juju, and I went for the Freikorps Specialist.
Okay. Why the Specialist? What's...
For my thinking, we had the scheme pool involved Protect Territory, Plant Explosives was in there too. And the Specialist has a trigger on his Flammenwerfer, on a crow, that can remove all scheme markers within 4 inches of the target.
Right.
So I figured I could either shoot his stuff and disrupt his protected territory if he took it, or I could maybe prevent him planting some markers.
Yeah.
Or I could, even in a pinch, shoot my own stuff and remove markers near them.
Right.
So that was my thinking behind it. Plus, I'd taken, with the doppelganger, which we both had, I figured the doppelganger could copy the flame as well, and quite happily drop it on things because the Flammenwerfer ignores cover. So the things like the Waldegeist and things like where we're hiding behind the trees wouldn't put him in a disadvantage.
See, I would never think of using the doppelganger to copy the flamethrower.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of got that nice, you know, Terminator 3 imagery, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it does, yeah.
She doesn't get the triggers, unfortunately, but she's still got, right, you know, damage that can put blasts around, you know, around corners of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a nice thing, the old Flammenwerfer.
Yeah, and she does it on a zero. She can get 3 shots with it. So having them within 8 inches, there's a potential 5-shot base there.
Okay, and Bad Juju is just... He's a tough model to... to take down. Was Bodyguard in the pool?
No, not for that one.
Oh, every time I seem to see Bad Juju these days, it's because Bodyguard's in the pool.
Yeah, to be honest, I think that strategy was a little bit of a problem at Masters.
Okay.
Because everyone was playing so cautiously, Bodyguard doesn't start scoring till turn four.
Yep.
And there were games that weren't getting to see turn four.
Right, okay.
So we're not getting to turn five because everyone's playing cautiously and everyone was on edge. And there was quite a lot of very large model pools and people weren't killing things quick enough because no one was committing.
Right.
So games tended to not finish.
Okay. I have a bit of a rant about Bodyguard and, you know, the comebackable models, but I think I'll save that for the for our main show.
If I was running a tournament, I would be tempted to modify Bodyguard to say it starts going turn three rather than four.
See, I wouldn't disagree with that, but I would also modify it to say if the model can't be killed at all.
Well, it can be killed. You just have to do it in the right order.
Well, no, it's the fact that they come back and then it carries on scoring.
Yeah, but it only comes back if you kill the Swamp Fiends before you drop Juju, then it ain't coming back.
That's true, but that can be a lot of models. That means that can also mean you've tabled them before you, and then you've certainly got Juju left.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I say, that's a rant
for another day.
The beauty of this show is I don't have time to go on little rants because otherwise my pinger goes in my ear.
So, would you like me to walk you through day two?
Yes, please.
Okay, I started my quarterfinals against Martin Wardhouse. We were settled for Turf War, and it was Ruith versus his Ramos crew. The scheme pool was Wine and Sand, Vendetta, Make Them Suffer, Bodyguard and Assassinate, which is quite tough for Turf War in that matchup.
Yep.
So we both took Bodyguard. I took it on Barbaros, he took it on Joss.
Right.
And I took Make Them Suffer, and he took Wine in the Sand, which I thought was an interesting...
What was he using, Ramos?
Ramos. So he had a couple of mole men who were going to try and do that job for him.
Right.
He had Howard babysitting them. He had Joss on the opposite flank, and the rest of his crew in the middle sort of pushing towards the turf war and making spiders to try and get it.
Okay, and you've got Lilith and Barbaros to do...
Chucking things.
Make Them Suffer.
Yeah, chucking people out the middle. Unfortunately, I lost Barbaros early doors.
Right.
Couldn't keep him alive. wrong enough, actually, Ramoth punched him very hard in the face for a huge damage and just took him out. And I actually lost Lilith during right at the end of the game, but fortunately she'd finished scoring, make them suffer by that point.
Right.
Thanks to Black Blood, yay. I actually punched her with one of my young Nephilims so she could Black Blood the spider next to her.
Oh, that happened to me in a game the other
and
day.
Score the point. rather than, I could have charged the actual enemy model, but chose not to. I took the Flammenwerf and the Doppelganger there again, trying to get some shots off, and that cleared off a couple of the scheme markers to drop him down to only the 1 point from line in the sand,
right,
which was useful. And it ended up, at the end of it, a 6-6 draw.
Right.
Which meant we looked back to who scored the most VPs on day one, and I had by one. 20-19, so I advanced. But yeah, tricky game, that one. Could very easily have gone the other way. So, I just squeaked through into the semis. And met Greg in the mirror match. As we said, Lilith on Lilith, squatter's rights.
Yep.
Wine in the sand, and check this out. Frame for murder, plant explosives, breakthrough and protect territory. You know, everything there says, be careful.
Yes.
And it turned out that's what we did. We were very, very cagey. It wasn't like a bad game, but we were almost both just totally silent. There was just no banter.
Right.
And we were just constantly looking at the board thinking, what are we going to do next? It was almost like chess-like, it felt. He finally, on particularly the last activation of the game, killed my territory and gave me my frame for murder.
Right.
Which was thanks. but he'd got his maximum for plant explosives by that time.
Yeah.
And he maxed his protect territory. He got two for his maxed his protect territory as well. So he ended up on 8 points.
Right.
But I only got two for plant explosives because one of his models was just about 3 or 4 millimetres out the way.
Right, okay.
And didn't quite blow him up. So I ended up on 7 points. And that was the only loss I took all weekend. But a great guy to root to, and certainly someone I'd love to play again is Greg.
Oh, yeah, he's a great bloke.
Yeah, top guy. So totally deserved the win. And he went on to play Craig. And I got Luke, good old Shakes 1066 on Twitter, Cox Edge, who is someone I've played a few times and always have a fun game with. You know, some total mind-bending games, but always good ones.
Yep.
And that was Stake of Claim to finish, wouldn't you know? Never born off. So we both took two silvers. obviously to do the job of going to Stake Claims.
Yep.
He had Lynch, Huggy, Beckner, a Territot, a couple of tots actually, to do some running around. I went for Pandora. A couple of Sorrows, Primordial Magic, and a couple of Silvids, and an Oiran, who didn't do very much. The basic stuff for this game came down to the upgrades I chose for Pandora. I gave her Fuge State, which gives her the ability to cast a spell Nullify, which makes a model insignificant for the rest of the game, so it can't take interact actions until she's dead, until Pandora dies. So I spent the game shooting Silvids. You're insignificant. Oh, look, you can't point scheme markers now.
Yep.
And then I just left them. And I went and got entourage with her. I took out Brad Juju on the way, which perhaps maybe was a slight mistake on my part. Because he had, although he'd taken bodyguard on Brad Juju.
Yeah.
He also had Eternal on him. So he killed his own Swamp Fiend, brought Juju back, and walked him towards my deployment zone for his entourage.
Right.
And the score ended up 4-4. And because I had the most VPs from day one,
yeah,
I got the win. So it was very, very, very close. You know, two effective redraws and one game with only one VP in it.
Okay. So my countdown clock for this episode is rapidly heading towards zero. What did you think of the format?
Single elimination. Very tough. I'd like to do it again to be have a full go at it. But to be honest, I think it was very much brain draining. I think because it took a lot of people out of their comfort zones, which may not be a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, that when I first suggested the format, that was the hope, because I'd seen it work elsewhere, so I hoped it would work here, and it did sound like it worked here.
It was certainly a fun weekend.
Cool. So the timer has gone. We do try to stick to 15 minutes or so for these episodes. I do have one other thing to say that I've been asked to sort out. Apparently, Craig is going to send me an email of all the things that I got wrong the other day. But it could be lengthy. But Luke had a correction that we'd said that Greg had knocked out James in the quarters. But actually, Luke knocked out James in the quarters. Greg beat him in the pool game.
That's right, yeah.
So we got that wrong as well. But as I said, we were working from Twitter, so we had to do we were doing the best we could. So I think that's it for this episode.
So I'm Joel.
I'm Mike, and we'll see you again soon. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.